Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of Uncomfortable. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince. And tonight, we're going to be talking about something that we've visited once before, or maybe a couple times before, but it's something that many members of the church and many leaders in church are dealing with today. That is burnout. And it can come in many different forms. You know, sometimes it can creep up on you. Other times, it can be like a lion or a cat that pops out of nowhere and pounces on you. Other times, it's almost like that ebbing drip that builds up over time. It's slow, it's steady, but once it reaches a certain point, it explodes. And that is the most dangerous. Because you think everything's okay. I mean, that's what I would think. I would think it's the most dangerous, you know? Because you think everything's okay. And then you turn around and boom, an explosion. And then your world rocks. What are your thoughts, Vince?
I would say you put it very nicely. Sometimes it doesn't just happen as sweet and innocent as you put it. A lot of times it kind of comes at a
violent explosion.
Violent and screeching halt. It typically comes up at you in such a way that you are like, why did I run into a giant tree and I didn't even know my car was going at 1,000 miles an hour?
It reminds me of when a child is blowing a balloon up for the first time and they just keep blowing that balloon up and blowing it up and blowing it up. And the next thing you know, it pops and they're so shocked, so distraught.
Yeah.
So startled, like you said, that they don't even know how to react. And that's exactly how it can happen to us. Because just like the children that don't know how to react to the balloon that just exploded, the thing that they loved, they cherished, they yearned for, when we allow this thing that overcomes us to become a burnout, right? And it explosively comes at us. At that point, it can become something that puts us in a stalemate. We have to make a choice. Are we going to actively fight against this thing? Are we going to choose to move forward? And Vince, I talk about like working out and stuff quite a bit on some of our conversations.
Right.
It reminds me of when you have to choose to go to the gym. Because there's the reality that there's the moment you have to say, do I feel like going today? Yes or no? The reality is it doesn't matter how you feel when you have a goal. You say, am I going to go or am I not? And then if you have a goal, you say, it doesn't matter if I want to. I have to because this is part of my plan. This is part of being diligent. This is part of getting through it even in the moment. And I know that even myself, there's moments and hopefully my wife doesn't listen to this because she'd be like, well, I told you not to go. But sometimes she'll be like, hey, stay home. Just chill. You don't need to go to the gym today. And I'm like, baby, it's called consistency. We got to get moving. We got to get this thing done. And I don't tell her, but there's moments where it's like, I really don't want to go today. But I have to say yes anyway. Because I know that there's several goals. Like for me, number one is health. My number one thing is I see what my family has dealt with in the past. And I don't want to move into that in my future. And I try to find the most natural path to prevent myself from having to take medications and other things in the future. And for me, I look at what do I eat? How can I exercise? And what can help maintain myself? Now, can I get into a burnout mode? Absolutely. But I choose to move on even in the spite of those moments. And when we hit a burnout moment, right, we have to make a choice. It's not easy. I'm not downplaying it. You and I have both been there. We feel burned out. We feel overwhelmed. We feel overcome. And we have to make a choice in those moments. If we choose to be in stalemate, nothing happens. But if we choose to become active anyway, then we're good. I mean, I remember when my son, my oldest son, was born. He's our middle child. And I'm going to tell you, Vince, and I'm a smaller build guy anyway. So, but whenever he was born, and some people go, oh, sympathy weight. No, it wasn't sympathy weight. It was, I didn't want to say no to the donut. I didn't want to say no to that extra kolache. I didn't want to be responsible, and I would eat a huge bowl of ice cream, followed up by whatever else I wanted. And I got to a point to where I realized if I wanted to have a healthy life and not have some of the same problems my family had, I had to make some choices that I didn't want to make. So I had to start a journey that took me down another road. In the same way, I think sometimes we have to recognize the burnout points in our life, the things that are trigger points. And we have to begin to proactively make decisions against those things.
Well, let me piggyback on what you were saying is that it's the same way in that sense, right? Too. When you're doing a health journey, it's you have to look at and identify more so than what you're eating, how much of it you're eating, and even going working out or not. First things that you got to try to identify is key behaviors. What's causing you? Like, a lot of times when people gain weight, it has to do with
absolutely.
It's connected to emotional stress or something else in it. That's their way of dealing is they eat. Or there's also traditions where some families are like, hey, we had a great thing happen. Let's celebrate. Let's go eat. Oh, you're sad here. Let's go eat. Oh, you're happy. Let's go eat. So there's a lot of different behaviors that also go into that journey. I mean, Kirk, you and I have talked at length about the journey I've had with trying to lose weight, and how even in December of last year or January this year, I got on the scale.
Hey, and just to give you some props, man, when I saw you about a week ago, man, you're doing great.
Thank you. I've lost 47 pounds.
Man, that's a huge report, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but that comes with you know, we made, and here's the thing that really helped me was my wife and I sat down, and of course, my wife, you know, a lot of times she gets inspired by the Lord with these ideas that I'm like, I have no idea how you came up with that. And she said, I don't know either. And I was like, okay, it must've been Jesus. So it just, we made small tweaks to what I ate, small tweaks. And as far as like, we started eating at home more, but that was more to help her with the situation than me. I was a huge like sweets and chip person. My wife took and said, okay, you know what? We've done all the other diets, removing this stuff from your diet, only to have you blow up bigger than before. She said, so she took it upon herself to go and divvy up each one of those bags and each one of those boxes of candy and all that into single serving sizes.
Oh, there you go.
So now I can have one in a day. I mean, I could have any amount I want in a day, but it creates the illusion that I have a whole lot more than I do when I sit there and I stare at a box and they're all inside these little things or these little Ziploc bags of chips or something like that. And man, I tell you what, it hits the spot, and it does its intended design. It helps make me feel like, okay, I'm not missing out on anything. Now I know all the health people out there are like, well, that's not how you should do it. But it's worked for me thus far, and I know things have to change over time, but I just am not to that spot yet.
I don't think what you're doing is wrong at all. I mean, I think sometimes you have to begin a pattern of moderation, and that's exactly what you're talking about, right?
Exactly, and it's the same thing that you have to do when you're facing burnout and fatigue is, you know, a lot of us like to do, and Kirk, you've talked about this even on the show before yourself. You'll go and just go until you almost run into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, bam. And myself and many others out there are kind of like that. We just go at whatever speed we can go at. And we think we're still going at 1,000 miles an hour. But the truth is we've slowed down to a crawl because we're so overwhelmed. We're so overcome. We're so overburdened that we don't even realize that we slow down quite a bit. The engine isn't running. It's running high, but we're not getting anywhere. And so we also need to learn in the sense of overcoming burnout, fatigue, whatever you want to call it, to do things in moderation, to moderate behaviors, to moderate things and replace some things with healthier decision making.
Mm-hmm.
I love the one we talk about. I remember listening to something we were talking about the other day, and you brought it back up about, you were talking about your schedule when we were talking about putting these together and how busy your schedule was. And I said, Kirk, I think you need a scheduling enema.
Oh, yeah. You know,
since you were so overburdened with everything.
And you may or may not know this, but that spoke volumes to me when you said that.
No, I just was trying to be funny.
But for me, I actually took that and I started reevaluating my schedule and saying, okay, where do I need to start trimming the fat? Because he's right. Because when I reevaluated my schedule, I'm like, he's not wrong. I have no breathing room. I don't even have anywhere to study. You know, it's no wonder I feel so overcome and overwhelmed. It's no wonder I feel like I don't have enough time. So it's just, I mean, the reality, the parallel between like the healthy lifestyle, working out or watching what you eat and not being overcome with burnout spiritually, the parallel is uncanny. Because we can become so overwhelmed with situations in our life to where we can become overly sensitive to comments people make too. You know, or it might just be a trigger point. It might not even be that we become overly sensitive. Maybe it could just be that that's something that triggers us because of our personality, something we've gone through in our past. I mean, there's so many variables there, but it's like those things could have been possibly avoided if we watched.
Yeah. Sometimes we do become critical and you know, impatient or upset or something like that, but it's because of the fact that we're in that place of burnout. I was reading an article on LinkedIn, and somebody had made that thing. And of course, you know, when you're on social media, there's always, you always try to make things catchy, so it's a good click point. But it's a pretty valid, I clicked on it and I was like, okay. And it said the 10 red flags of burnout, and thought it was pretty cool. And I was like, oh, that's pretty neat little thing. And then I started to take a look pretty close at a couple of them. And I was like, oh, guess what? I'm in burnout right now, or I'm in danger of going into full-fledged burnout, because I realized that I was having trouble regulating my emotions. I was becoming very angry and impatient easily. I was being judgy. Even if I wasn't being judgy to other people, I was being overly judgy to myself. See, we think that only is a thing when it's to other people. But some of us get really, really harsh on ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, absolutely. Oh, I don't judge anybody. I don't judge anybody at all. But you judge yourself so bad that if you were to judge one person other than yourself that way, man, they would think you absolutely hated them. But we will beat ourselves down in such a way. And through that, it causes sometimes that burnout, that exhaustion. It can cause you to be tired and mentally or physically. And then that adds to trouble regulating your emotion. It adds to trouble sleeping, trouble this and that. And then now you don't even want to get up and do anything. Now you find yourself just like staring at the wall. And you got to be careful of those. And a lot of times, even like myself in this last season that Kirk, you and I were just talking about, I found myself doing most of these things and I didn't even realize that's where I was. And it was just been the last couple of days that I've been like, wow, okay, that's where I, you know, God's been helping me to be like, hey, we need to get you on a different path, a different course here, because you're heading for a bad way. So, and that's kind of the aspect. I mean, we can attribute it to, you know, physical health journey and all that stuff, but there's such a lack of conversation in the church about mental health and the mental health journey. And the fact that there's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus is like, hey, we can't talk about mental health. Matter of fact, he exhibited the example for us. And that is, when you are tired, when you are exhausted, pull away from everybody else and go spend time with the Lord. I mean, he fed the 5,000 and then disappeared into the mountains to go spend time with God for hours.
And oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, there's things like that, that when you're spiritually exhausted, that helps. That refreshes you. When you're mentally, emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted, it helps to be in the presence of the Lord. But I believe he also gives us these tools to use, like relaxing, getting away from your normal day-to-day. I mean, and they sound like small, practical things, and it's like, well, no, God wouldn't expect me to do that. That's not very spiritual. Actually, resting is very spiritual. Well, God himself did it. He did it on the seventh day.
Well, you know, something I think that we all think about, and kind of bear with me for just a quick second, is we think about trying. We all think about good times.
Right.
We all think about trying to take it easy, living our best life. I mean, you talked about being on social a second ago. What do people post on the social? It's their highlight reel. The good times. Right? Well, yeah. I heard a quote not too long ago, and it says, good times create weak people and hard times create strong people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting enough, Jesus, our Savior, said that persecution will come. Rejoice when you're persecuted. Wow. But in our current culture, our whole mentality is everything needs to be perfect. Everything needs to be peaceful. Everything needs to be joyful. Everything needs to be a good time, highlight reel, you know, no persecution, no nothing. And, you know, maybe the question needs to be is, if I'm not being persecuted, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? I remember hearing a story about...
Now you're stepping on toes, bro.
Oh, man. The founder of the Methodist Church, you know, he was doing some ministry work back in, I think it was the 1800s, if memory serves me right.
Yeah, I think so.
And
17 or 18.
You know, he's you know, on his horse going to the next village or the next town down the road. And he's like, wow, wait a minute. I've not been persecuted for 2 days. And then he goes, am I saved? Have I backslidden? And so he gets off of his horse and begins to pray. And he begins to say, Lord, is there something I've done wrong? Have I fallen into sin? And he begins to go down the list. And it wasn't until after somebody noticed him and goes, hey, that's John Wesley. I hate that man. And he picks up a brick and throws it at him. That John Wesley goes, okay, I'm good. So the reality, the perspective difference is uncanny, right? In our world today, we're like, oh, woe is me, I'm being persecuted, or oh, woe is me, someone didn't agree with me, or oh, woe is me, they didn't do what I think I should do. But back in the 1800s, when our nation was being founded on the gospel, we see a leader of the church saying, Lord, I haven't been persecuted in 2 days. Is there something I've done wrong? Is there a log or a splinter I need to get out of my eye? Is there something that in my life that's not right? You know, beginning to chase after God because of not seeing the persecution that he'd seen in the past. Now, I'm not saying that we have to be constantly under persecution. That's not what I'm saying. But I think this idea that we have to only see good times, we only have to see, you know, the highlight reel of our life all the time, and for us to feel like we have to have that to feel good, is a lie from the pit of hell.
No, I even wrote some of that down because just now while you're talking about it, and this is kind of what came, you know, the word says that we are supposed to rejoice, right? Like you had said, mm-hmm. But instead, a lot of times what we do in hard times is we complain.
Yep.
And so that's kind of what I have, that's kind of what stood out to me was, okay, rejoice instead of complain in hard times. And I was like, oh, that's just painful.
It's painful
That
for
is so
all of us.
painful.
I mean, if you're in the middle of a moment where you're feeling burned out, or you feel beaten up, or the devil or whatever is starting to make you feel oppressed, depressed, repressed, that's not the moment you want to think, well, praise you, Jesus, that I've been persecuted, or praise you, Jesus, my wife disagreed with me, or my pastor disagreed with me, or my friend, or whomever. That's not when you want to hear that stuff, right? So, I mean,
That's true.
craziness.
Yeah, I do find it very funny that this is the topic that God kind of brought up for us to talk about tonight, because it's not, I do think it's also kind of funny that he tends to bring these things up when I really don't want to talk about them, and I'm not I'm still like,
Well, I think there's two
but
things. I mean, one, sometimes God knows we need to get through things. Number two, the body of Christ right now is going through a moment, and they're having to make some choices. There's a lot of political junk that's going on right now in this season, and a lot of people are getting worked up. The reality is, it does not matter who gets elected at the end of the day. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Yes, I believe we all need to do our civic duty. But what I mean by that is a generalized statement, as in, no matter what, God still will be on the throne. He still will give salvation to those who need it. And guess what? When the time comes, he will come back for his church. So it's not like that we're going to be all, woe is me, God's abandoning us because XYZ got elected. Not at all. God will use whatever. I mean, he used King Cyrus, in one season of the Israelites' life to help rebuild Israel. He used King Ahasuerus to save the people of Israel. He used King Nebuchadnezzar to discipline Israel, but then also to help get them back in line. So there's many people over the history of the world that God is, even in the midst of something that looked like a travesty, he has built people up. Think about Egypt. The Israelites were slaves for 400 years. But when they came out of Egypt to go into the Promised Land to take Israel for the first time, at that point, they were in the millions. But the oppression is what helped drive them to multiplication.
yeah, it's it's like I told you, I was listening to this sermon last week or week before last, I think it was, and this guy was talking about the ministry of suffering, and that the thing that causes all of us as believers to grow is that, is those hard things, the hard times, the
Absolutely.
sufferings. And it doesn't look the same for everybody. It doesn't look the same for people in some countries as it does here in America, but we are, and it doesn't mean that you won't, that everybody's supposed to be homeless and live on the street and not have any money. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to be multimillionaire and have no problems either. It all comes in its own ways. You
That's
could be a
right.
multimillionaire and still have problems. You can still have sufferings, even being a billionaire. We all have issues that money does not stop them from happening. You can't throw money at somebody who's passed away. That doesn't fix the problem.
Well, think about
You
money does not buy happiness. We all know that saying. But look at the life of those who have super amounts of money. Most of them, they turn to drugs or alcohol or some other vice to try to fulfill themselves. The only true fulfillment is through Christ. The only way to
Yeah.
truly have peace is through Christ. It doesn't matter the dollar amount. Money simply is an amplification of who you are and personal flaws within your character.
Yeah, it's just a tool.
Yeah. So it's only going to highlight things that are either good or bad in you. And the
Right.
reality is God does not mind you having lots of money if you're using it for good purposes. The only
reason,
don't
even care.
Yeah, the only reason Jesus told that rich man to go sell everything he had is because he knew in his heart that the man loved his money more. Yep. If the man would have been like, yeah, sure, I'll sell everything, Jesus probably wouldn't have even asked. It was a test of the heart. He knew, he could tell that the man had a love of money and that that was a root of evil for him. And it wasn't the fact that he had money. It was the fact that he valued money above everything else.
Well, if you even look at some of the most, and I think this kind of does play into it too. These are things that, so even though we're talking about it in this context, it still does play into combating burnout. If you look at some of these really, really wealthy people, the ones who are truly happy with their lives, they give back a lot.
Oh, they do.
And not just cash, but like, and I think of course, everybody is familiar with Elon Musk. But if you think about, the guy seems to just exude this joy in his life. Why? He's giving back to humanity in creating what he believes. Now, I don't know that I line up with his belief system at all, but he believes that by having electric cars and trucks and getting us to Mars and all that stuff like that, he's actually helping humanity. So he believes he's adding value to humanity. Okay, right. Great. So there, for him, that adds joy to his life. For some of these other ones who are very philanthropic, I believe is the right word, who give millions and millions and millions of dollars away, and they actually do it genuinely, not for an agenda purpose.
They don't have to go and post it on social.
Right. And most of them don't. The ones who really, really are doing it for the pure joy of giving, it gets posted, but usually not by them. It's by somebody else.
Oh yeah.
It's like they saw it happen or they were the one that was affected by it. And so they're like giving a shout out or a thank you or something of that nature. And so when people do things because it brings genuine joy to them, some of that helps mitigate the stress. So if it brings joy to you to go work with rescue animals on the weekends and you're like, man, I really need to relax and chill. My schedule's too busy. Yeah, but that might bring you joy. So that might actually help refill your tank to go sit there and hang out with puppies and dogs and cats on the weekend. Okay, that's great. If that's you, that's you. If it's sitting in and with your family and playing a board game or a video game together or going for a long walk or going to work out, mm-hmm. whatever it is, having a conversation with family members or going for a long drive, it's those things help to mitigate the effects of burnout. It helps put your mind Absolutely. In a better space. So some people like, I have a friend, they like to go try new places to eat. And they will go, man, so they'll drive sometimes a couple of hours to go find a place that they looked up. And really, even though it's like wow, really, they're going to drive that far for the food? It's really not about the food. It's about the journey. It's about the story
Amen.
For them.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
That's what it's like whenever I go travel. And my wife and I are polar opposites on this, but I love to stop a lot. For me, it's the journey. I love the journey. I like to be able to stop, stretch my legs, enjoy the scenery, see what's going on, wave at people, mm-hmm. and then continue the path. My wife is let's get there yesterday. You know, she's like, let's go. Let's just run 100 miles an hour. Let's be done with this thing.
Yeah, I'm more like that too.
She just likes to get to the destination and start the journey there. And for me, the whole journey there is part of the journey, part of the adventure.
It's funny. My youngest son wants to do that. He wants to go on like a 2 or 3 week road trip.
Yep.
And just go visit a bunch of different states he hasn't been to and just get into what we get into.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, he and I were bringing my pickup truck from Tennessee back to Texas. And when I moved back to Texas, and he rode with me. And we just stopped from time to time just to rest, just from the journey. Mm-hmm. But the stops on that journey were as or more enjoyable or chess is enjoyable because of the company and also just enjoying the different parts of the country. You know, it was a little here and a little there, but it wasn't like anything that added huge amounts of time. But what it did add in our eyes, mine and his, there was a lot of value there, you know, because of the camaraderie, the friendship, the fellowship, and just enjoying nature, enjoying the scenery, enjoying whatever it was, you know, whether it was eating or hiking, because he and I did like to hike. We do like to hike. But anyway, side point. I don't even know how we got wrapped off onto that section there. But anyway,
well as we wrap up. Talking about things to mitigate burnout, and sometimes it's just simple things. And that actually just shows the point, though, before you do the wrap up. And this will be my last 2 cents, and that's this. The point that the fact that, Kirk, you jumped off into that and the talking about it and how much joy that brought you and the smile that it brought to your face, it just goes to prove the point of something like that for you helps to mitigate the potential of burnout. For you, that's relaxing. You are a go-go-go person, but... And we're all built differently. Some of us need to just stop and do absolutely nothing. And some of us need to be doing something. You just need to be doing a specific something. Yeah.
Now, there is a time fence that I toes in the water, rear end in the sand, you know, as the song goes. You know, at the beach, that right there can get me to stop because I love the beach. Yeah. I do there love the mountains. About it. I do love the mountains and the jungle too, but there's something about the roll of the water. It's so soothing.
It unwinds you.
It's like God knew that most of us on this planet needed something like that to help just soothe the soul. And it's so soothing. Sir. Well,
that is the truth.
Guys, if you need soothing in your spiritual life, we highly recommend you chasing the presence of God. Get into prayer, get into worship, find a good Bible believing church, not a feel good church, a Bible believing church that will teach the gospel, that will challenge you to grow and help equip you for the life coming up ahead for you. And we would also encourage you, contact us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. We would love to pray with you if you've got something you're going through. Vince and I have both been through moments of burnout. We understand. And we would love to partner in prayer with you. If you've got a show idea, also get with us there. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to the gift page. Guys, we love having you with us. We look forward to seeing you on the next show. Talk to you later.
See you next time.